Okay, well, let's launch into lesson 11. And this actually, this little discussion is a good introduction to lesson 11, to what we're going to meet here. Especially this element of this conditionality, this irreality that we have. So here we're going to learn, okay, on page 56, lesson 11, pus an lege, whoever says, eon lege, if he says, hina lege, so that he may say, and legomen, let us say. Okay. And the hina, we've already been introduced to in the previous lesson. So section one, note the difference between A and B in the following. A, you are writing a letter. So that is, we're saying that is happening. And B, he may be writing a letter. Example two, you are the person who is receiving a letter. And B, whoever receives a letter will be happy. So the A sentences state a definite fact about a specific person. It's something that is actually happening. You are writing a letter. We know that when we say that. You are the person who is receiving a letter. That is really happening. In the B sentences, they state something that is not so definite. He may be writing a letter. We don't know whether that's happening or not. It's a stage removed from reality. It's a possibility, but indefinite. And then whoever receives the letter will be happy, but we don't actually know if anybody has received the letter. So it is, and we can make that statement without implying that anybody has actually received the letter. It's not so definite. It's removed a stage from reality. And in Greek and in other languages, those get rendered into a different form of the verb, what we call the subjunctive. And in English, we often render that with may or might. He may do something, I might do something. Do this so that he might do that. And there too, there the might is another helping verb. In 1b, he may be doing something else other than writing a letter, and in 2b, the word whoever does not refer to a specific person who actually has received the letter. Now, we render that, we have some Greek examples here of how this works. Number three, ha anthropos has lege ton logon. Ha anthropos has lege ton logon. The man who speaks the word, has the relative pronoun, nominative, masculine, singular. But then B, has an lege ton logon. Has an lege ton logon. So has, again, is that relative pronoun, but now we have added in the an, so it makes it os an whoever. Instead of just the one who, it's whoever. Adds in this element of sort of uncertainty. Whoever, lege, notice that in example A, it ends in epsilon iota, and now it is lengthened to eta, which is a long E, and the iota has disappeared, well, it's almost disappeared. It's gone below into what we call a iota subscript under the left arm of the eta. Lege ton logon. Os has an lege ton logon. Okay. Has an lege ton logon. Whoever speaks the word. It's very difficult to say them differently. You really needn't bother trying to say them differently. If you can manage to distinguish between the second one, will be a slightly more drawn out e lege lege. What's going to tell you? First of all, if you see it written, and this is mainly what you're going to be doing, is you're going to be reading New Testament Greek. So you'll be able to read it and see that it how it's different. And then you'll see the on there.
Is there a translation for the on?
Well, it's us on. Just they go together. Us on is whoever.
Could be something like who may speak the word.
Yeah, whomever, whoever speaks the word without. And we don't know if there are if there is anybody who is speaking the word, but whoever speaks the word. And lege there, in example B, is in what we call the subjunctive. Example A, lege, is in what we call the indicative.
So it would be like hasan graphe, if you change.
Hasan graphe with the eta and the iota subscript. Yeah, it's what we call a subjunctive. Okay, any of you remember that term from English grammar, where we have the indicative and subjunctive? Indicative is just he writes, or if we were taking this, I say he writes. The subjunctive, he may write, he might write. Like that. There's this element of irreality to it.
These are
what we call moods, right? The indicative mood and the subjunctive mood. Okay, so a verb. Make a little aside here. A verb has tense, voice, and mood. Tense is present tense, future tense, past tense, perfect tense, things like that. Voice is active, passive, middle, and mood is indicative or subjunctive. So this chapter is all about the subjunctive mood.
So the very top in hein lege?
Aeon lege?
Oh, yeah. Why is that? Is there any gender there in the data?
No.
Lege? Okay.
No. Nope. It's if he says or if she says. Okay. Number four. Tauta apangelomen kai kononian ekete methemon. Tauta apangelomen kai koinonian ekete methemon. So these things we declare, and you have fellowship with us. So just ekete, indicative, second plural, you have. And then B.
What is tauta? These things?
Yeah, these things. So we had that in the previous section, section 9, the end of the third line, that longer passage we read, tauta.
But these things, like in English, we kind of use things just as a very loose, loose word, right?
Yeah. So when you have that tauta, you'd have to then look back and see, well, what are these things? What is it referring to? And in our passage from there in section 10.9, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we announced to you, and these things we write, so that you also. So it's what are these things? It's well that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. So you would then use context to know what the. It's a pronoun, so when you have a pronoun, you've then got to look around and see what's the noun somewhere around that it's referring to.
Okay. Is it feminine, tauta?
Tauta is neuter.
It's neuter. So you pick the thing pronoun based on the gender?
Essentially, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And tauta, when it's neuter, it can just sort of, it refers in generality to.
So literally, we declare the.
Yeah, yeah, we declare these. Okay, B, we put this into the subjunctive. Tauta apangelomen hina koinonian ekete methemon. Tauta apangelomen hina koinonian ekete methemon. So we declare these things, begins saying that. And then instead of kai koinonian ekete, and you have fellowship with us, we now have it hina koinonian ekete, so that you might have. So hina is so that. And hina then always takes the subjunctive mood, because when we say that, so that, now it introduces this sort of element, you're a little stage further away from reality, we're hoping that you may have, that our purpose is that you might have fellowship with us. We're not saying, yes, you have fellowship with us, which is what we're saying in example A. So hina koinonian ekete, and then ekete there, you see how the, in A, it's ekete, each of the vowels is an epsilon, a short E, and in B, the middle epsilon is lengthened to an eta, ekete, so that you may have fellowship with us. And of course, that then raises a question in English. Is it so that you may have fellowship with us, or so you might have fellowship with us? Anyway, may and might, and that's got to be another confusing one for native English speakers, and even more so for foreigners trying to learn, is do you use may or do you use might there? I have no idea. But so you may have fellowship with us. 5. Akue tutus tus lagus. Akue tutus tus lagus. He hears these words. And then in B, Aeon akue tutus tus lagus. Aeon akue tutus tus lagus. If he hears these words. So Aeon there is if.
I know we covered this many times in the past. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tutus tus. Why is it that we have that word? I was working through stuff a little bit, and tutus tus. I'm just wondering, why do we have that repeated tutus?
What is it? Tutus tus. Why tutus?
Yeah.
So the tutus is the demonstrative pronoun.
Okay.
This, these, and then the tus, there is the article. So they're serving different purposes.
So the word
tutus.
Okay, tauta. Tauta is the plural, the neuter plural, and we haven't learned the neuter yet.
Okay.
We'll learn neuter in lesson 12.
Okay.
And tutus is masculine plural accusative. Aeon akue, and then notice akue there, again the vowel has lengthened. The A at the end of akue has lengthened to an eta with the iota subscript. But it would be very difficult for you actually to distinguish that in how you pronounce it. Number 6, tauta legomen. Tauta legomen. We are saying, or we say these things. And B, aeon tauta legomen. Aeon tauta legomen. If we say these things. So aeon again is if. And that then adds a degree of irreality to it. We're saying if we're not saying we are saying these things, we're saying, well, you know, if we were saying these things, if we are saying these things. And legomen, notice that the omicron has lengthened to a omega.
For the subjunctive, mm-hmm. We also have all these 12 forms, right?
Yes, the subjunctive has all the different forms. Yep. In singular and plural, first, second, and third person, and then all the different tenses. Okay.
So what was there before the iota subscript?
Before the iota subscript? It was, so in number 5, akue is the verb, akue ending in epsilon iota, and it changes to akue.
Okay.
The epsilon lengthens to an eta, and the iota goes down below as the auto subscript is a little remnant. So the general pattern is there's a lengthening of a vowel. Top of page 57, notice that each A is definite. So it's when we for the definite ones, we put that, we say that's the indicative mood, and each B is less definite, and we say that's in the subjunctive mood. Each verb in B has a vowel that is lengthened. So ekete, short epsilon goes to a long eta. Akue, short epsilon goes to a long eta, and the iota goes downstairs as a iota subscript. Legomen lengthens, the omicron lengthens to an omega. Okay. And so those are sort of clues to being able to recognize a subjunctive. And usually there'll be some sort of a word in there, hasan or aeon or hina, that will alert you to expect that a subjunctive is going to come along, and then you'll see something with a lengthened vowel or an iota subscript that will be the subjunctive. Okay, number two, section two, some vocabulary. Tauta, these things. Demonstrative pronoun. Here, it's the accusative plural. It's the neuter plural. And it could be either the nominative or the accusative case, either subject or object. And we'll learn the neuter gender the next lesson. Aeon is if. Aeon. So then aeon eke. Aeon eke, if he has. And eke, you see there the eta and the iota subscript, a long vowel. Eke from echo, I have. Hasan, whoever, and hasan lambane, whoever receives. Lambane, the epsilon iota is lengthened to a eta with the iota subscript. Hina, so that, and hina pistu osin, so that they may believe. Hina pistu osin. Now, they believe would be pistu usin. So in this case, it's an omicron and upsilon diphthong that is lengthened to a omega. And hina, there are lots of hina. Hina occurs often in the Greek New Testament. Ha adelphos, the brother, and he adelphe, the sister. Now, he adelphe will be refer specifically to a female. Ha adelphos could refer to a masculine person, or it could be used in a gender-neutral way to refer either to a single individual who could be either a brother or a sister. And that this is the problem we had with the translation, trying to figure out that translation in the previous lesson. Does the author intend to have gender specificity there or not? Hey agape, a word that you all know as the love. And then the verb is agapo, I love. Now the full form of the verb, and this will be the form in which you'd find it in the dictionary, is agapao, I love. But then the ending, the two vowels at the end, we say they contract. The alpha omega contracts to simply omega with a circumflex over it. So note the endings of agapao. The alpha and omega becomes straight omega. Alpha and epsilon becomes alpha. So we have agapo, I love. Agapas, you love. Agapa, agapomen, agapate, agaposen. So in agapo, it's gone from agapao to agapo. The alpha has been the alpha of the root. Agapa is the root of the verb. The alpha has been assimilated or elided. Agapas would normally, the ending for you would be ace. right? Mm-hmm. But here you have a stem ending already in a vowel, and the ace sort of disappears. It goes down below as an iota subscript. Agapa, the same thing has happened to the epsilon iota that would be the normal ending. It has disappeared. The first plural would be agapa omen, and alpha and omicron has lengthened to a straight omega. Agapate, would be agapaete, and the epsilon has disappeared, and then the third plural would be agapausen, and the alpha with the omicron and upsilon has all gotten contracted into a omega. So that happens when the stem of the word, the stem of the verb, ends in a vowel. In a vowel. And usually, particularly when it ends in an alpha. And it's, otherwise you'd have these, there's just this natural tendency when you would get these, all these vowels put together that things contract. Okay. Then we have the word may is not. We've already met one form of the word not as u or uk. May gets used with the subjunctive. So compare, we have uk ekomen, we do not have. U there having a kappa on the end of it in front of a vowel. But then aeon me ekomen, if we do not have. So now our verb, if we had aeon ekomen, if we have, our verb there, ekomen, is a subjunctive. And to negate that, you use me instead of u. Another example, hos an eke, whoever has. If we want to negate that, because we're dealing with a subjunctive, we use me. Hos an me eke. Hos an me eke, whoever does not have. Ha agapon, the person loving or he who loves. There is a participle, and for participle, that too we negate with me instead of u. So ha me agapon, the person not loving, i.e. the one who does not love. Okay, try out some vocabulary. Now, let's look at section 3, if you want to cover up your right-hand side and see how we do in trying to translate these three sentences. Number 1, hutas estin ha adelphos, has lambane ten adelphen. Hutas estin ha adelphos, has lambane ten adelphen. Okay, hutas estin, hutas, him or this, hutas estin ha adelphos, this is the brother, hutas there has to agree with adelphos, that's who it's a demonstrative pointing to the adelphos, this is the brother, has lambane ten adelphane. Has lambane ten adelphane. Okay, who receives the sister? This is the brother who receives the sister. So that's in the indicative, lambane. Number 2, we change it a bit. Has an lambane tas adelphas, hutas lambane hemas. Has an lambane tas adelphas, hutas lambane hemas. Okay. Has an lambane tas adelphas, whoever receives the sisters. So tas adelphas there in plural, feminine plural accusative, the object. Has an, whoever, with lambane there, see it's in the subjunctive. So you see the difference between 1 and 2, lambane, the a, epsilon iota in the end has lengthened to eta with the iota subscript. And then hutas, that's our demonstrative pronoun referring back to whoever. So he, this one, receives us. So whoever receives the sisters receives us. Well, it makes it clear. You don't. It helps to have it there. Yeah, helps to have the hutas. Make it clear. In English, we don't need don't need to say he again. We don't need to have the he. In Greek, generally, I'd have to look in the examples in the New Testament, but I think it generally would be in there. Yeah. Okay. Number three, hus an pistue to angelo to kuriu, to kuriu pistue, ala ha me pistuon to angelo u pistue to kuriu. Hos an pistue to angelo to kuriu to kurio pistue ala ha me pistuon to angelo u pistue to kurio. Now the raised dot at the end of the second line there is, that's a semicolon. That's what a Greek semicolon looks like. So whoever believes the messenger of the Lord or the angel of the Lord, to kurio, kurio pistue, and it, actually in this case we don't then have the demonstrative pronoun. We just go on to, so to kurio pistue, believes the Lord. Whoever believes the messenger of the Lord, believes the Lord, semicolon, ala ha me pistuon, to angelo, u pistue, to curio. Okay. But, ala, but, ha me pistuon, ha pistuon is the one who believes, so ha me pistuon, the one who does not believe, the messenger, or the angel, u pistue, to curio, does not believe the Lord. It's not u because hapistuon is a participle, and that is negated with a me instead of a u. U pistue, we're just dealing with a plain indicative verb. Yeah.
There's no kappa because there's a consonant starting there.
Oh yeah, for pistue. So u is a regular form of the not there. Uk, so you had a kappa in front of a vowel with a soft breathing, and you had a he in front of a rough breathing. Yeah. Okay, well, we're out of time there, so we'll stop at 11:03. We'll pick up next week at 11:04, and we've got some more translations of Aeon and Hina, and then we'll work our way through the rest of lesson 11 and hopefully get on to lesson 12, the neuter.